ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Yeah.
indriya artha, for sense gratification. Cha, and param, transcendental. Yat, that. Ubhayo, both. Api, certainly. Sati, being situated. Ashaye, material desire. Upadho, designation. Vai, certainly. Kuman, the person. Pashyati, sees. Na annatha, not otherwise. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the soul exists for self-gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Please repeat. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason he becomes subjected to designation. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being covered by material desires, a spirit soul is also considered to be covered by designations belonging to a particular type of body. Thus he considers himself an animal, man, demigod, bird, beast, etc. In so many ways he is influenced by false identification caused by false egotism. And being covered by illusory material desires, he distinguishes between matter and spirit. When one is devoid of such distinctions, there is no longer a difference between matter and spirit. At the time, the spirit is the only predominating factor. As long as one is covered by material desires, he thinks himself the master or the enjoyer. Thus he acts for sense gratification and becomes subjected to material pain, happiness and distress. But when one is freed from such a concept of life, he is no longer subject to designation, and he envisioned everything as spiritual in connection with the Supreme Lord. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-255. Anasaktasya Vishayan Jatharvam Upajunjata Nirvandha Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vairagyam Chate. The liberated person has no attachment for anything material or for sense gratification. He understands that everything is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not give up anything. There is no question of renouncing anything because the Paramahamsa knows how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Originally, everything is spiritual, nothing is material. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Matha Lila 8.274, also it is explained that a Mahabhagavat, a highly advanced devotee, has no material vision. Sthavar Jangam Dakte Nadakte Dharmurti Sarvatra Skurayamijo Ishtadev Skurti. Although he sees trees, mountains and other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord. and with reference to the context, sees only the creator and not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. This is oneness. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadukam Shri Guru Vaishnavaksha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Tapavana Raghunathanvitam Dvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Madan Sahagana Dalita Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Takta Kanchana Gauranghi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusthi Devi Pranamami Kanti Vancha Kalpata Rupascha Kripa Sindhu Paye Vacha Patitanam Pavanityo Vaishnavityo Namunama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Atmanam Indriyartham Cha Param Jad Upayo Rapi Sattashayo Upato Vai Kuman Pashati Nanada. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires and for that reason he becomes subjected to degradation. And when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires. So, Sanat Kumar, the principal of the four Kumaris, is instructing Vikram Maharaj. The instructions of these exalted self-realized souls, how to become free from the material context and become situated on the platform of pure devotional service. Gradually he is bringing or establishing that point to Prithu Maharaj. And in course of that he is establishing the condition of the living entity in the material nature, the condition of the material nature, the living entity's entanglement in the material nature, and how the living entity becomes free from the bondage of the material nature. And in this verse, he is pointing out that a living entity, a jivatma, can exist in two conditions. There is of course another, a third condition. For example, one is a state of bondage, state of liberation, and the third state is the state of unconsciousness. Anyway, the state of unconsciousness has not been, there is no need to discuss about that. Because at that state, the living entity is not concerned whether he is existing or not. He is not aware of this identity. He is not conscious. But when the living entity is in a state of consciousness, his consciousness is either in material bondage or in the spiritual existence. That's why a living entity is considered to be tatastha. Tat, the bank of a river. This side of the bank is water and that side of the bank is land. And in between there is just a line separating these two different states, water and land. Similarly, a living entity can either be in Krishna's external energy or he can be in Krishna's internal energy. When a living entity is connected to Krishna through devotional service, he is in his internal body. When a living entity looks away from Krishna, then he is in his external energy. Jagadananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associate, explained that point in Prema Vivarta, that Krishna bohir mukh hoiya bhogavan shapale nikatastho maya tare japa. As soon as the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, Krishna bohirmukh. Mukh means the face. The face can be projected either towards Krishna or away from Krishna. So when a living entity is facing away from Krishna, he is actually facing Krishna's external energy, which is just next to nikatastha. Maya, just as soon as the living entity, as soon as the living entity looks away from Krishna, Maya grabs. And that has been explained. How does Maya grab him? A living entity looks away and living entity looks at Krishna's external energy, which is Krishna's inferior energy. But the living entity belongs to Krishna's superior nature. Jiva Bhutam Mahabhaho Jajedandharvatiya Aparayam Tastanna Prakritim Vittine Para. The living entity is coming from Krishna's superior nature, parapara. And this material nature is apara, or inferior. So when a superior personality comes across something that is inferior, it naturally develops a tendency to lord over. Because the nature of a superior, lord over the inferior. And that causes him, causes the living entity to lose his or lose his actual identity and develop a false identity. Actually, in Swarup, in his constitutional position, a living entity is a servant. Jivev Swarup Hai Krishna Nitya Das is the eternal servant of Krishna. But as soon as the living entity comes across the material nature, he develops an identity or he develops a concept that he is the Lord and Master because the material nature is inferior. Somebody's phone is ringing. What's that? Flexible. Anyway. So the living entity develops a misconception about himself, develops his false identity, false ego. And that is actually the first covering of the mind. It's a subset. It's one of the elements of the material nature, subtle elements. And then he begins to plan how he is going to enjoy this material nature, how he is going to exploit this material nature. And that causes him the second bondage of intelligence. Then through his mind, his consciousness constantly flows towards the material nature. So in this way, the living entity gets entangled with these three subtle elements of the material nature: false ego, intelligence, and mind. And then according to the shape of his subtle body, material nature, Maya, provides him with a gross body. And thus the living entity is very securely imprisoned in this material dimension through the bondage of these two types of body, gross body and the subtle body. And the cause of his bondage is just somehow or other he looked away from Krishna. So that is called the conditioned state or the state of bondage, bhakti avastha. And Prabhupada is pointing out, actually this verse is pointing out, when the soul exists for sense gratification, it creates different desires. What are those desires? The desires to enjoy this material, to exploit this material. And for that reason, he becomes subjected to designations. The designations are the identification of the body. According to his subtle body, he creates the gross body. And the gross body is simply a product of his subtle body. The way his subtle body has been shaped, accordingly he gets the gross body. And he identifies himself with that body. That is the meaning of upadhi, designation. But the liberated state is sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. When a living entity becomes free from all these designations, tat paratvena nirmalam, and he becomes purified. Amal means impurities, and nirmalam means free from impurities. In this way, when one becomes free from all designations and becomes free from, or rather becoming free from all contaminations of the material nature, then, and becomes engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. That is the state of liberation. He becomes free of that state. No more bondage. And the process is Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. This also has been explained in this way. Like, the two bodies a living entity has, two types of material bodies, Sri Sri Radha Madhava. A living entity has two types of material bodies. One is the gross body and the subtle. By nature's arrangement, a living entity becomes free from his gross body. When he dies, he is free from the bondage of the gross body. the growth body is gone. He is free now from the bondage of the subtle. But the problem is, the bondage of the subtle body remains. And as a result of that, he is subjected to another growth body. One becomes free from the bondage of gross body at the time of death, but the subtle body remains hidden after death. And it is the subtle body that carries the soul to his next destination. Subtle body never dies, but the subtle body can be transformed. And what is the process of becoming free from the bondage of subtle body? How can we transform or dissolve the subtle body? The process is, what does the subtle body consist of? Mind, intelligence and false ego. When the mind is constantly engaged in thinking about Krishna, what is the function of the mind? The function of the mind is to think. And when that propensity of thinking is utilized in thinking about Krishna, then the mind is spiritual. And in this way, when one constantly thinks of how to become engaged in serving Krishna, then the intelligence or intelligence is spiritual. Manmana bhava is the way to transform the mind or spiritualize the mind. And tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadani buddhi yogaptam jenamam. One who is constantly engaged in serving Krishna himself is bhajatam priti purvakam, with love and devotion. Tadami buddhi yoga. I give him spiritualized intelligence. So his material intelligence is now transformed into buddhi yoga. Now he is utilizing his intelligence in becoming engaged in serving Krishna. And in this way, when a living entity becomes engaged in serving Krishna, then his false ego is dissolved and he becomes situated in his swarup as a servant. He waves swarup by Krishna. Iha jasya hare dasya karmana manasa dhira nikhilashyapi avasthasu jivan mukta sarvaja. In this way, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, iha jasya hare dasya karmana manasa dhira, with all his activities, with his mind and with his words, then he is free from the body. Nikhila Sapyavasthasu Jivan Mukta Sovacha. And in the previous verse, Prabhupada pointed out the Jivan Mukta state is the state when the subtle body has been dissolved, or subtle body is not existing. The gross body is there, the living entity is existing in this gross body. This gross body is there. But within that gross body is the pure spirit soul. That is the state of jiva. Pure spirit soul is existing within the gross body. Now the consideration is that body material or spiritual? In this respect, Prabhupada is giving the example of iron and fire. When the iron becomes red hot, being in contact with fire, Is it iron or is it fire? Somebody said, it's iron. Prabhupada said, touch it. So similarly, a living entity who has become free from the bondage of matter, and as a result of that, his subtle body has become spiritual mind. That means the subtle body is not existing. Material mind, material intelligence, and false ego is not there anymore. At that stage, he is a pure spirit soul, living within this material, apparently material. But is that body material? The correct answer is no. The body also has spiritual because of the contact of the pure spiritual soul. And that is the state that has been pointed out here. Sarvapad evine muktam tat paratrena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam. And the verse that has been, that Prabhupada mentioned two verses here. One from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharam Upajunyaka Nirvandha Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vyayat. At that stage, he doesn't reject anything. Rather, he sees that everything belongs to Krishna and he uses everything in service. And one example can be given in this respect. A king has his kingdom, and inside his kingdom he has a prison. Now apparently, the free state and the prison are two different states, two different areas. But that's for whom? For the prisoners. But for a free individual, he sees that everything belongs to the king. The kingdom belongs to the king and the prison house also belongs to him. And those who are engaged in the prison house by the king, they are not prisoners, although they are staying in the prison. They are free because they are serving the king. So similarly, this material nature also belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna's property. It is Krishna's kingdom. It's Krishna's domain. And those who are free, they see that, and when they are situated in this prison house of material nature, they are not prisoners. But they are here with a purpose to execute submission on behalf of the king. And what is his mission? Try to educate the prisoners, try to enlighten the prisoners and show them the way how to get out of the prison house. And they see that in the prison house, whatever is there, everything belongs to the king. The prison house belongs to the king, everything in the prison house belongs to the king, and even the prisoners belong to the king. And unfortunately, this, although they belong to the king, this prisoner, they are not engaged in serving the king. And that is the state of their misfortune. If they become engaged in serving the king will say, okay, let me go. And not only that, if the servant, if the prisoner happens to become a very good servant of the king, and the king finds out that he has become such a good servant, then the king says, oh, okay, come and stay with, stay with me in my palace. And that's what Krishna does. When one becomes engaged in serving him nicely, Krishna says, okay, no more imprisonment for you. Just come and stay. And as long as that person remains in the prison house, he tries to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in whichever way he can. And one of the best service is to remind other prisoners, to remind other children of Krishna that what a wonderful relationship they have in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And tries to to reinstate them in that relationship. So that's how Nikhilesh of Yogasana should jiva. In all conditions, whether they are in the material nature, whether they are in the spiritual nature, they are always liberated. They are not imprisoned in the material nature. And at that stage, sthavar jangam dakti, when a person becomes properly engaged in serving the king, becomes a servant of the king, and thus becomes free from the bondage of matter, then what is his consciousness like? Sthavar jangam dakti na dakti tarma. He sees everything, whether moving or non-moving. Sarvatra spurai tar ishta devas. Everywhere he sees his worshipable Lord. He sees them as the parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of God. All he sees that objects that are unconscious or inner, that they are actually meant to be engaged in serving. Both the living entities, both the conscious living entities or unconscious inner objects, all are actually meant to be engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of God. That is the vision of that self-realized. Thank you very much for the glorious Srila Prabhupada. Whenever I come to give a class, I see right in front of me Srimad Bhagavatam class with question and answer and comments should end by 8:45. Anyway, maybe we can just take some few questions. Yes, I can have a problem.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your highly enlightening class. My question is regarding the shape of the subtle bhati. So, are there 8,400,000 different shapes of subtle body, like material body? Could you kindly explain?
Yeah. Yeah, naturally. And maybe even more. Every individual has his subtle body, and that has a specific shape. Because there may be different species. But in different species also, different individual has his own individual subtle body with his specific shape. So every living entity has a subtle body with a specific shape. But general classification is 8,400,000 species. And just to make, kind of explain that point a little bit, like, you see, what causes the shape of the subtle body? Prakriti kriyamanani punai karmani sattva. Whatever is happening to a living entity is happening according to guna. So living entity is executing his karma. And those karmas are taking place, or those actions are taking place in different modes. And as a result of that, they are generating the reactions of the action. Some action in the mode of goodness is generating one kind of reaction. Passion, another kind, and in ignorance. Now, and as a result of that, the subtle body is taking shape. Like, for example, when we do something good, how does the mind feel? It feels elated. When you do something bad, even though no one saw us doing it, how does the mind feel? It feels guilty. So in this way, every action actually leaves its imprint in the subtle body. And as a result of that, the subtle body takes its shape. And according to that shape, a living entity becomes subjected to his next body. material nature carried Maya with the arrangement of the demigods. Karmana daiva netrena jantar deva upavartaya. The demigods actually make arrangement for the living entity to be placed in a specific womb. And there he gets a next form according to the shape of his okay. Yes, Mahatma Prabhu.
Is it correct to say we define false ego as misidentification? So how can a misidentification be a substance? False ego as a subtle material substance. Can you explain that?
Yeah, because it's subtle. And the subtlest of the subtle is very difficult to define. Because, you know, it's beyond our sense perception and beyond our conception. But the thing is, I mean, these are the things that we have to accept from the scriptures. It is not conceivable by our intellect or by ourselves. So the scriptures say it is a substance, it is matter, it is matter, subtle. And the understanding here that is causing a living entity to think that he is the enjoyer, he is the controller, that is. Yes.
Maharaj, you were describing how the subtle contamination is the cause of the subsequent material body. And the analogy is putting the iron rod into the fire so it becomes non-different from the fire. That's the verity. But what about, let's say we're sadhakas and we're trying to do that, but particularly say, you know, a grihastha devotee, a congregational devotee, he's surrounded by, you know, family, entanglement, employment, you know, properties, bank balance, all of these things, which definitely leaving impressions on the subtle body. So if we're not 100% fire, there's something still, are we required to take subsequent material bodies?
The first consideration here is that a living entity, by dint of his own effort, cannot free himself from the bondage of that. The only way a living entity can become free is by the divine mercy of the Supreme Personality. When a living entity surrenders unto Krishna, then Krishna takes control, takes charge. And Krishna makes the arrangement. And we can also see by the arrangement, the way material nature has arranged our state, especially the human existence. Material nature, by nature's arrangement, is actually leading us to that, in a point of freedom. Like, when we begin our life, right at the time of birth, the body and the soul has hardly has any connection. But then the body grows and the attachment to the body develops. And then by nature's arrangement, you know, the body gets old, body gets diseased, and through that arrangement, the bond between the soul and the body reduces. And at the time of death, he actually comes to the point where he's free. But unfortunately, because of his material entanglement through the subtle body, like, you know, he cannot become free. Because the bond has... But, you know, that's why there's a need to free the subtle body through the practice of sadhana, through the practice of devotions. Like, we, on our part, we practice devotional service, which actually enables our subtle body to become transformed into spiritual identity. And Krishna also makes that a sincere soul. Krishna will guide him. I mean, he knows. For example, the Bharat Maharaj. Like, left everything, a king, left everything, went to the forest. But ends up being a dear body in his next life. But then, after that, he gets the body of dear body. So here we have to understand, not we have to understand, our previous acharya is saying, that actually by giving dear body, getting the dear body was not actually Bharat Maharaj's fault. Getting the dear body was Krishna's arrangement to burn out all his karma in this body and then bless him, pure devotees, or award him. So Krishna makes, we are on our part surrender to Krishna and Krishna takes charge of us. On our part we simply have to desire. And if our desire is sincere, Krishna will take. If our surrender is honest, Krishna will take charge. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. My question is, my mind is extremely restless. Sometimes even falling asleep when I chant Maha Mantra. It is proper that I also may invoke or use, let's say, the process of Sanatana Kumara, you know, Lila Smarana, to, you know, side by side with Lila's.
Yeah, sure, why not? Like, mind has to be engaged in thinking about Krishna. And that thinking about Krishna is smarana. We can do the smarana either by remembering ourselves, we can do the smarana by hearing others speaking about Krishna, or also being smarana. When we read the scriptures describing Krishna's pastimes, it's also smarana. Yes, smarana is one aspect of our devotion is done. Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj said that the soul gets a new, like a new body depending on its previous karma. But then when the soul comes fresh from the spiritual world, when it falls down, there is no previous karma, so which body does it get first? Is there a chronological order?
Okay, good point. Very good point. The thing is, when a living entity, at the time of annihilation, you know, he goes back to the spiritual world. When the material nature is not existing anymore, he is back in the spiritual side. But the thing is, he is in an unconscious state. Right? He is in an unconscious state. And that's why he doesn't know where he is. Like when you're sleeping, does it matter whether you're in New York or in Mayapur? You do not know where you are. Right? So that is how the living entity is when he goes back after pralaya. But then when the creation begins and he comes back to the material nature, then according to his subtle body, shape of his subtle body, he gets a close. And as you say, when the first time he comes, what happens? According to Prabhupada's description, he gets the body of Brahma. Because that's the next stage, the most elevated stage, down the spiritual, from the spiritual side, down to this material dimension. How it's possible, we don't know.
So if you have such a body as for Brahma, how can you degrade yourself to the animal form?
That's it, that's what you say. Like, at such point you really have to just give it up. Inconceivable. We don't know. How, after getting Brahma's body, we slid down to this condition. Right? But it happens. I mean, if we can look away from Krishna from their spiritual situation, everything is possible. Like we are on the way down. We are coming down. So we are reaching the topmost state of things. But because our journey is downwards, we are going to. Like if my back is turned towards spiritual side, am I seeing what I'm seeing? I'm seeing. I mean, I was going to say this material, but I was thinking this is also spiritual. Very much spiritual, the world of the devotees. So, depends on where consciousness is, and in that direction. And the thing is, the point is that it doesn't matter where we are, the consideration is where we have to go from. We are here now, that is the reality. And we have to go back to the situation. How we came here is not important. How we'll go back there. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande.
Swami Charasani Maharaj.
Srila Prabhupada.